In the name of God, Abba, Ima, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Einstein said, "No problem is ever solved at the level at which the problem originates." No problem is ever solved at the level at which the problem originates. Gandhi was asked by his disciples, "Why? Why do you persist in trying to make friends with the British?" And Gandhi said, "If I don't believe in their humanity, they never will." Oh, you can tell where this one's going. Last week, we engaged this in conversation, the levels of consciousness development. We learn how the wounds and contradictions of human beings take a long time to heal and mend, and that to become a mature human being takes a long time. We'll come back to it another time. But it's in the spirit of what I've shared before and we've talked about, having a reactive mind versus a receptive mind. Remember the reactive mind? That's the one that just goes off, is always on edge, can be sparked, triggered by anything. Life, look out! Whereas a receptive mind is cultivated, especially in spiritual people, to take us deeper in understanding of the dynamics, what's happening, the possibilities of how we read our own souls so we don't have to live in panic all the time. And we start to breathe, sometimes even in the midst of conflict. Oh yeah, I forgot. I'm a human being. This is what the Good Samaritan was exercising. When he found the guy by the side of the road, he said, "Here is a wounded human being." Not another damn Jew. It's what Mary saw when she opened the eyes of her heart and her mind in the presence of Jesus and said, "Everything else can go by the wayside right now. I'm in the presence of wisdom, and I will absorb this. It's the one thing necessary." She could see it from here. Occasionally I'm asked, "How large is your congregation?" I always say, "We are vast. Vast, you have no idea, because there are people who are struggling and working and cultivating a deeper sense of that relationship with God by which we can live in compassion and understanding and practice justice. It's not the numbers. It's the heart that's vast." The disciples asked Jesus today, "What's the core of your teaching?" They knew how to pray. "What's the core of your teaching?" And Jesus says, "The Lord's Prayer. Abba, Ima, and bread." That's it. There is nothing about Jesus is the Savior, the church is the most important thing. Nothing about dogmas and creeds and formulas. What is essential is God, who loves us, who loves human beings just as we are, with all of our needs. We human beings have three constant hungers. The first is the hunger to encounter someone good. Just someone who embraces us with life and acceptance and joy and sees the worth of who we are. We all need at least one person to see that in us before we start to mature as human beings. It can't happen without the experience. Of course, God is that ultimate mentor. The second hunger is the insatiable hunger that is never satisfied in our lifetime. The hunger for meaning, for fullness of life, which is not just for ourselves, but it's for history and the cosmos and the whole universe. Now, I know the people of peace. We're pragmatic people, aren't we? We know how to put it together. That's our strong suit. But this insatiable hunger for meaning is a hunger for God. Don't ever put it down. It's the longings of your own heart for that fullness and richness of life for which God has created us. Pay attention. Pay attention to it. And the third hunger is the hunger for daily bread. Now, it's true, we are co-creators with God. We have been given magnificent capacities to bless life in all kinds of circumstances. And we remain creatures with needs and dependencies, like daily bread. But it is not just for us, it is for everyone. And so it has been said that on the day when everyone is fed, heaven will arrive. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are facing God in the Spirit, in the depth, in the mystery of Jesus. And so in the early church, 2,000 years ago, they taught that you may know the words of the Lord's Prayer, but not until you're baptized can you pray it, because it is the Spirit of Christ who is praying this prayer through and with and in us. God, is not our judge the abyss, the voice of the void out to get us. God is overflowing love, who knows we are made of dust, and that we will all return to the dust. God, Abba, Ima, dear Mama, dear Papa, is the one who cares for us and all as sons and daughters of God. If only we might see each other through that lens. which is also why we so rarely have confession in this church. Because in all of my years, I've never met any families at peace or elsewhere, parents or grandparents, who call the children to them after dinner every night and say, "Confess, what did you do wrong today? Where did you mess up? How did you hurt me? And now you can go to sleep." I can't stand it. I admit, I can't stand it. There are places for confession. We need to be reminded of the love that we are being made new, that there are new ways of understanding ourselves, that there is a new relationship, a new way of living in God's creation with each other. We are called upon to bless and re-anchor ourselves time and time again in this love which knows no end, and we can barely take it in. But what else is there to live for? Just bless everything. Bless everything. All right, this week, rush hour traffic, irritating coworkers, some person you've known for years and who's still obstinate and ridiculous. Bless them, just bless them, just bless them. You see, we're the ones being changed. We're the ones being made new. I know all the brutalities abound, and the empire of perversity keeps finding new ways to destroy life. And that's why we pray. We pray to enter into, to be made new through the one who makes life out of death. No problem is ever solved at the level at which it originates. We are being made new through the prayer of Jesus. Amen. The peace which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ.